This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen, back with my guy, Brandon Kravitz. Brandon, I want to thank you. I want to thank our guy, Eric Halterman, filling in for Jeff Erickson as he gallivants all over North America here in early August. But we got another great show coming your way over the next 60 minutes. Got some headlines in the NFL, including another big contract doled out to one of the best running backs in the league. Going to talk a little bit about a certain quarterback futures bet that Brandon Kravitz put in this week, looking at the AFC North. Plenty of baseball coverage on the show today, including Greg Peterson from VSiN.com. He'll stop by with his card for the Thursday slate. Keep talking some fantasy football with our guy Joe Bartle from RotoWire.com. Some sleepers to be targeting in your 2026 drafts. We'll talk best bets. We got the Hall of Fame game coming up later tonight. Kenny Pickett versus Carson Beck. We'll get some division win totals for you later in the show. So much coming your way on this edition of Prop Points. And make sure, by the way, if you are not a subscriber to Prop Points in podcast form, you can find us on Apple, on Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Brandon, in that whole spiel, I never even mentioned that we have the final event of the regular season PGA Tour ongoing right now. It is the Wyndham Championship. We are about halfway through the first round. Bo Hostler, currently your leader at 8-under, still out on 18 as we speak. Matty Schmidt, Denny McCarthy, Davis Thompson, Hayden Springer, all just behind at 6-under. The betting favorite coming into the tournament, the heavy, heavy favorite, which we talked about yesterday with Len Hochberg, Brandon, Cam Young, a little bit of a disappointment so far in round one. He is in the clubhouse, 1-over 71.
Yeah, I'm so gassed up for the Hall of Fame game tonight that I almost forgot we still had a PGA Tour stop to worry about here. But you got to keep an eye on these things. Brooks Koepka in the mix as well at 3-under, so he's still got a puncher's chance. A guy that we haven't really been talking a lot about over the last year of big time golf.
Yeah, you look at the updated odds for Cameron Young after that 71. He is now 115-1 to win the tournament. Hostler, again, your solo leader. He is plus 720 as a short shot over at DraftKings. Brandon, as I alluded to, we have some news in the NFL. It's not Jahmyr Gibbs, but it's Jonathan Taylor landing a two-year, $44 million extension with the Indianapolis Colts. Could be worth closer to $50 million if he hits all of his incentives. Entering his age 27 season, you know, he's been around for a while now, Brandon. It feels to me like Jonathan Taylor should be closer to age 30, but if you're the Indianapolis Colts, really no reason to think Jonathan Taylor is going to slow down anytime soon. You look at where he ranks since entering the league in 2020, he's second in total rushing yards. He's second in yards per game behind only Derrick Henry. He's third in total carries behind Henry and Josh Jacobs, second in rushing touchdowns as well. Also, behind Derrick Henry. And I think we forget, Brandon, because of how the Colts finished last season. I mean, there was borderline MVP buzz at times for Jonathan Taylor, even if we know deep down a running back is never winning that award. But he was firmly in position, I think, around midseason to take home Offensive Player of the Year before the Colts offense fell apart and before JSN and Puka Nacua had those huge second halves.
Yeah, I think it feels like he's been around longer, especially for where you are in the country, probably because he felt like a full-blown pro at Wisconsin, and he was there for an extended stay as well, so maybe that has something to do with it. But he was outstanding last year. He's been outstanding the last 2 years, led the NFL in rush attempts, rushing touchdowns last season. He's been healthy 2 years in a row, and what helps as much as his talent is the fact that he's running behind the best run blocking offensive line in the NFL, in large part thanks to Quentin Nelson. This guy is someone they absolutely need in order to operate the way that they do. You can make a very easy case that he's the most valuable player on the Colts. And with that, I actually think he's a little bit underpaid. 27 years old, still in his physical prime. The two-year deal feels right. They can get out of the Taylor business before he's 30 years old. I'm just a little bit surprised that he bagged much less than Bijan Robinson. $39 million guaranteed for Taylor, $51 million for Robinson. And the pay scale for running backs just continues to baffle me, as both fell well short of what Zay Flowers got. We can say that these guys are a dime a dozen, Nick, but until you have a guy as good as Taylor and he goes down and the offense goes into the tank because of it, I think that tells you the kind of value that these guys have. But I'm a little surprised that he didn't get up to that Bijan number.
Yeah, where do you come in on this Colts team, Brandon, as we start to kind of go team by team, trying to evaluate this 2026 NFL season? I think Indianapolis, to me, I've almost set aside because it feels like such a black box. You know, we saw two different versions of this team, you know, with Daniel Jones at his peak, with Daniel Jones starting to fall off, and then, of course, with the Phillip Rivers experience at the end of the year. I mean, all indications are that Daniel Jones is going to push to be out there right away. But time and time again, you know, we have seen that these Achilles injuries for quarterbacks could really be almost a two-year recovery process, where it's not until that second season you start to see the player look like he did in the past. Indy right now, kind of a distant third to win the AFC South, plus 380 behind Houston and Jacksonville. Win total's down at 7.5.
And I think that for me, the pessimism with Indianapolis isn't even so much about the Colts. It's more of an optimism that I have for the Jacksonville Jaguars, for a defense in Houston that should be among the top in the NFL. So I don't even doubt. I'm not someone that looks at what the Colts did last year and say that it's completely fluky. They did it against some really good competition. I think Daniel Jones showed that he is at least in the top 20, maybe even in the top 15 among starting quarterbacks in the NFL when he's at his best. The offense is good. It runs on time and on schedule. And let's not forget that last year, Daniel Jones wasn't the only injury that they dealt with. Their secondary, particularly their corners on the outside, ravaged with injuries. And so if they get those guys back, I think the Colts are a good team to bet week after week, perhaps, or most weeks, in terms of taking them against the spread, because they're probably going to be undervalued. But I just have too much faith in what the Jags and the Texans can do. And I don't think this is a three-team playoff division with all the good ones we have.
Well, we're going to find out about the Indianapolis Colts right away, because they are home for Baltimore in week one. They go to Kansas City in week two, and then home for the Houston Texans in week three. So a very difficult start to that schedule for Indy. Folks, you want to bet smarter? Then you need everything we have to offer over at RotoWire, including the brand new Smart Money tool, which shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use that promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Throw that in at checkout. It'll get you 15% off anything we offer at RotoWire. Again, that's rotowire.com, and make sure you're using that promo code VSIN. So we talked Jonathan Taylor, Brandon. He gets the two-year, $44 million extension. We had another big signing come through earlier this morning. That was the Washington Commanders bringing in a veteran wide receiver. That receiver is not Brandon Ayuk, who at least has been lobbying personally to sign with the Commanders. They instead bring in Stephon Diggs. He gets a one-year deal worth up to $12 million. My question to you, Brandon, is how much does this impact the way you view Washington's upside this season? How much does this actually matter versus the name value of Stephon Diggs, even at this point in his career?
I think it matters a lot. I think this is huge for Washington. They needed somebody to pair with Terry McLaurin. You're not bringing Stephon Diggs in to be a number one. You're bringing him in to be a number two. And if they have ascension from the kid they got from Clemson, or Luke McCaffrey even, or Chigakonkwo, you can even slot him in to third on the pecking order of who Jaden Daniels is throwing the ball to. It is a low risk, high reward move for them. Second year off of an ACL is usually the more productive season. And so this will be his second season off of that ACL tear from 2024. Fifth most 100-yard receiving games amongst wide receivers last year. I think it helps Jaden Daniels' stock maybe more than anybody else, because this is a guy, as we've talked about on this show, I've been frustrated with his average draft position all offseason, going as high as quarterback three in some drafts. I never understood it. There just wasn't enough around him. This does change that. I still think QB3 is too high, but QB5, QB6 becomes way more palatable, and I can certainly understand taking him ahead of Jalen Hurts or a guy like Caleb Williams.
So even before this signing, we were seeing Stephon Diggs go off the board in just about every fantasy draft, usually that 10th to 12th round range, you know, just based on speculation that he was going to sign somewhere. So I do think we see that ADP rise. I think he could push into that Jacoby Myers, Jaden Higgins, Xavier Worthy territory right around pick 100, maybe even more of an initial boost. People just want to jump in after the signing. And look, there's no argument. There is opportunity right now in Washington. It's really just Terry McLaurin as far as proven options in that pass catching room. It is bad news for those, myself included, who've been loading up on Antonio Williams, third round rookie out of Clemson, as a late round value. But here we go. Terry McLaurin and Stephon Diggs, your wide receiver one and wide receiver two now in Washington. Quickly, Brandon, I know you have officially put in a Lamar Jackson player future for this season. So please enlighten us on what compelled you to jump in on Lamar.
I was just, you know, thumbing around the sports books, found this one, and it jumped off the screen to me. Over 575 and a half rushing yards at even money. You can find this at a juicier number if you want to. In the 560s, but the fact is that he's averaged 815 rushing yards a season since he came into the league. He has smashed this time and time again, and I expect him to do it again in a bounce back season.
We'll have some more NFL futures for you later in the show. We'll have some fantasy football talk with Joe Bartle, but first we're heading out to the Progressive guest line. Greg Peterson giving us his Thursday MLB card. When we come back, we'll watch your prop points here on the Sports Betting Network.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz back with you. It's Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. It's time to talk some Major League Baseball. We'll give you a scoreboard update with some day games in action. Nothing between the Angels and the O's. We're in the top of the third in Baltimore. Do have a run on the board in Reds A's. That was courtesy of Ellie De La Cruz hitting a solo homer, his 19th of the season. We are just underway between the Mets and the Guardians, 0-0 game out in Cleveland. To help us put together our Thursday MLB card, we head out to the Progressive guest line, bring in our guy Greg Peterson, of course, from VSiN, host of the Baseball Betting Show and Coast to Coast Hoops podcast, excuse me. You can find Greg on Twitter on X at GUnit_81. Greg, appreciate you giving us some of your time. Let's get right down to brass tacks and get some plays on the board. Head out to Milwaukee, where we get Pirates Brewers this afternoon. Braxton Ashcraft versus Dustin May, making his first start in a Milwaukee Brewers uniform.
Yep, and I really like the over here because we've been seeing both of these offenses do a great job all season long. Both are in the top seven in terms of run creation. And for the Brewers, it's not like they need the deep ball in order to be able to get you an over as well. They've been a bottom six team in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis all season long, but you just have so many guys that do a great job with small ball. And then for Braxton Ashcraft, just not in great form right now. He's given up 4+ runs in 3 of his last 4 starts. And I think there's a lot of upside with him. He's still getting 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. Really doesn't walk a lot of guys. But even if you get a good start out of Braxton Ashcraft, that bullpen of the Pirates, still a massive concern. Recognize that they pick up Camilio Duvall. That helps you out a little bit. But I mean, that's still a bullpen that I think is very unreliable, to say the least, for the Brewers. Right now, this is in that neighborhood, 125 minus 130 is where you're finding that money line. I'm willing to lay the Brewers here on the money line and take that total to the over.
We've got the Tigers taking on the Mariners, Valdez and Miller on the mound. Pitching advantage goes the way of Seattle as they look to take the rubber match in this series. Vibes are low in Detroit after the deadline. Is now the time to pounce on the Tigers?
Yep, I think so. Because with the Mariners, I'm right now seeing that price in the neighborhood of like minus 125, minus 130. Good value on a guy in Bryce Miller that maybe he's seen a little bit of regression over the last few starts, but I mean, he's still been really good. He gives up maybe a bit more of the deep ball than you'd like. 1.3 to 1.4 home runs per nine innings, but nine strikeouts and fewer than two walks per nine innings. And Framber Valdez just has not been himself this year. I know that the negotiations in the offseason when he was trying to get back with Houston really didn't go his way because the Astros didn't make him too much of an offer. And I think that that's really just lingered into the season. A career low, 7.3 strikeouts per nine innings. Now, I do like that eight to the under because I mentioned how good Bryce Miller has been thus far this season. Tigers low-key have been really good with their bullpen recently. They're actually a team that's in the top eight in terms of bullpen ERA since June 1st, so they've really been able to improve there. Seattle is also, if it's not the most pitcher-friendly ballpark in all of baseball, it's a top three, top four ballpark in terms of pitcher-friendliness. As well, Mariners have been a bottom five team in terms of run creation, so I think they get a lower scoring game out there. Took a shot on Seattle on the money line and that total that I'm currently seeing of eight to the under.
Want to tell you about our friends over at Fantasy Boss. Folks, fantasy football should be about more than just setting a lineup and checking a score. Fantasy Boss is the new season-long fantasy sports platform built to keep the whole league involved all season long. Commissioners get deep tools to run redraft, keeper, dynasty, best ball, guillotine, and more formats across any sport. Players get a modern experience that makes every matchup feel bigger. You get weekly recap videos, turning the week into a story everyone can relive and argue about. And taunt videos, giving a face to the trash talk. You got Beat the Boss, keeps the whole league competing all season long. Everything lives in one place from draft night through the championship. No patchwork of extra apps, no ads to battle through. Just a modern season-long fantasy platform with engagement built in. Create a new league or bring over the one you already run. You can start your league free today over at fantasyboss.com/rotowire. It's fantasyboss.com/rotowire. Fantasy Boss, your league never felt so alive. Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show, the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast at VSiN, joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. So, Greg, we've talked Pirates Brewers. We've talked Tigers Mariners. We now head out to Boston. We got the Battle of the Sox ongoing on the East Coast. We'll see Luis Castillo taking on Ranger Suarez tonight. You're looking at the total.
Yep, I certainly am. And I do think that there's some sneaky value here on the White Sox as well. Like, this is going up well north of plus 155 in a lot of spots. Luis Castillo's not had the world's greatest year. No question about it. That's been a little bit rough. But I do think that a change of scenery can do him a little bit of good. And when you look at that ERA, 505, 506, the fielding independent is quite a bit lower. Gives up about 1.2 to 1.3 home runs per nine innings. And while the Red Sox have been one of the hottest teams in the league, last 45 days, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they've got the best record in all of baseball. They are still a team that doesn't produce the same amount of offense at home rather than away from them. They average about 4.65 runs per game away from them. That goes down to closer to about 4.0, 4.1 runs per game at home. So that's a little bit of a concern. And additionally, when it comes to this Boston Red Sox team, it is one that has a really, really good bullpen. So this total of nine, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the under. But that said, for the White Sox, I do think that they can get to Ranger Suarez a little bit. He spent quite a bit of time on the injury list. Since coming off the injury list, has yet to fill five innings in a start, gave up three runs across eight and two innings. So can be added a little bit. You've got a trio of guys, Colson Montgomery, Montakamir Kami, Miguel Vargas. They've all been able to give you 23-plus home runs this season. So I think that you've got some good value here on the White Sox. Do like that under in this ordeal of nine. And with the White Sox, took a big plus money shot on the money line.
Greg, let's head to Hotlanta. The Braves have won a season high seven games in a row. They get Jansen Junk as their opposition tonight. Martin Perez hurling for the Bravos. We saw a bit of a pitching duel last night. Do things bounce in the other direction here?
Yeah, I'm not going to be betting on Junk in this spot. Typically, you probably don't want to be betting on Junk in general when it comes to your sports betting, but not in this spot as well, because for Martin Perez, yeah, he's going for a little bit of regression. 6.9 strikeouts per nine innings with over 3.5 walks per nine. The fielding independent is a full point higher than his ERA, but Jansen Junk just allows Valdi to be in play a lot himself. Only about 7 strikeouts per nine innings. Doesn't walk a lot of guys, but his hard contact rate has been going way up. His ERA is above a 5 when he's away from him. And this has been an Atlanta Braves team that has been able to do a very solid job with their offense. They're a top 8 team with regards to run creation. I just have noticed that Drake Baldwin shout out because he's from the great state of Wisconsin. He's a guy that has been able to do a much better job post All-Star break than he was doing just coming off of the injured list as well. It feels like things are really sorted out with him. You're now getting back Ronald Acuña Jr. as well. And additionally, for the Atlanta Braves, you're putting yourself on the side of the much better bullpen in this spot as well. They have been number one in the National League in terms of bullpen ERA. Right now, seeing a total of 9. Wouldn't want to go any further than a 9 to the over, but I do think that Martin Perez gets at a little bit here, and I do think that the Braves do a nice job getting to Jansen Junk. So in on the over and that Braves money line.
Greg, we had a big series ongoing out west. Two teams very much in the thick of the wild card race in the National League. Padres paying a visit to the Diamondbacks. Late start tonight, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. You're looking at both a money line play and another total play.
Yep, right now with the Padres, right in that neighbor of a pick'em, and I took a shot on Walker Buehler. For Walker Buehler, the ERA is not great. It's above a 5. He's pitched, in my opinion, a little bit better than this. The walks are starting to creep up on him a little bit, 3.7 to 3.8 walks per 9 innings, but his swing and miss stuff is up from where it has been the past few years, and I just can't bet on Cole Drake here. If you go all the way back to his minor league numbers, now, the PCL, by the way, for those that don't know about minor league baseball, that is a very, very difficult league to pitch in, but still, he was posting up an ERA that was well above a 6.50. That's very off-putting right there. And for Cole Drake, the ERA is a 4.85 through his first few starts. That's nothing too bad. Fielding dependent, more around a 5.85. He's been giving up a lot of walks. He does give up quite a bit of the deep ball. And low-key for the San Diego Padres, much better with their offense ever since the All-Star break. They have been a top-8 team in terms of run creation ever since the All-Star break. Fernando Tatis Jr., I think he had 5 home runs prior to the All-Star break. Got another one yesterday, albeit it was very much a garbage time, but hey, he was able to get a home run. That's like 4 over his first few games here coming out of the All-Star break. Manny Machado's moved the line a little bit more as well. And for the Padres, this is a top-3 bullpen in terms of ERA in the National League as well. With that 9 total, especially with having Cole Drake out there, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the over. And with the Padres, do like them on this pick-up line on the money line.
Diamondbacks currently occupying that second wildcard spot in the National League. Padres 2 games back of both Arizona and Philadelphia for the 3rd and final wildcard spot. Great stuff, as always, from our friend Greg Peterson. Again, catch him as the host of the Baseball Betting Show, the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast over at VSiN. And make sure you give him a follow at GUnit_81. We're going to switch things over to fantasy football when we return. We'll have our friend Joe Bartle from rotowire.com giving us his favorite sleepers, get into some players he's avoiding this season as well. Fantasy football talk coming your way next. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the sports betting network. A lot of grocery store talk between Brandon and I and producer Michael during the break. Look, if you are in the general Wisconsin area, you're watching or listening to this show, let us know. You've heard of a Piggly Wiggly. Right. I've been accused of speaking a foreign language. Piggly Wiggly, a stalwart grocery chain in the upper Midwest. I want to get that on the record, even if Florida native Brandon Kravitz has never heard of it. Nonetheless, we got to talk some fantasy football. We're getting close to draft season, and we're going to head right back out to the Progressive guest line to bring in our friend Joe Bartle, one of our fantasy football experts at rotowire.com, as evidenced by your Twitter handle, Joe, at JB Fantasy Sports. So make sure you give him a follow. Make sure you read him over at RotoWire. And we want to go through a pretty simple exercise with you, Joe. We want some sleepers. We want some busts, some players you're avoiding this season. But we'll start on the fun side of things. Guys you are targeting, guys you think could exceed their ADP. I got to be honest, I can't say I'm shocked, Joe, that the first player on your list is a certain tight end for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Tucker Kraft, he is my guy this year. I think last year I became the don't draft Travis Hunter guy. So if I could have a claim to fame, if I can pat myself on the back, I was successful with the don't draft Travis Hunter at his ADP. I just became the don't draft anybody. Like, it was Ja'Cory Kroski-Barrett. I didn't really want to draft him as well, too. Trayvon Henderson at the end of the third round by end of August. Those were all targets I just didn't want to avoid. I'm trying to be a more enlightened self, a positive self, Nick. So we're talking about guys that I actually want to draft, guys that I think will exceed the ADP. Tucker Kraft probably is number one on my list. Now, it has gotten more expensive. I think in early June, it was more like a seventh, eighth round price tag, especially in best ball formats, which is primarily where people are drafting. Right now, it's more like a 6-7. And I'm not just trying to do the joke there, like the ADP range for him. And typically, he'll be after Tyler Warren. Yeah, there you go. There you go. After Tyler Warren, Harold Fannin, Kyle Pitts after Tucker Kraft. This is a range that has been a bugaboo for fantasy people. I think in past years, Evan Engram has sort of been that range and was a guy I was touting last year that ended up not being a very valuable spot. No matter if it's full point or half point PPR formats, I think Tucker Kraft is going to be one of the more instrumental fantasy people at that spot, mainly because he's going to be one of the most instrumental fantasy, offensive people for the Green Bay Packers. It's all like 12 and 13 personnel, more tight ends on the field. I don't think the Packers can afford to do that this year. Yes, they're going to have Josh Wiley out there. Luke Musgrave, the second round pick in Kraft's class, I think will get some playing time too, but that personnel is not very good. It's going to be Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, and the guy that can do everything in this pass catching group is Tucker Kraft. He was leading all tight ends in yards after the catch by, I think, week 13 and week 14. He had missed the previous month and a half with that ACL injury that he tore and is still was leading the league. I think he's a crucial part of that offense and, more importantly, is a massive value if he ends up staying healthy all year, and I think he will.
Well, between Piggly Wiggly and Tucker Kraft, let's see if we can snatch you out of the state of Wisconsin, bring you down to my neck of the woods in Florida. Mecca Buka is being drafted around wide receiver 17, according to RotoWire's ADP. His counterpart, Chris Godwin, who might actually be the number one wide receiver in this offense, is going 23 slots later at the position. Is that why Chris Godwin has landed on your sleeper list?
Why not both? I mean, I don't think it's fair to say a third round pick in Emeka Buka could be a sleeper, but I do feel like at wide receiver 17, if you told me it's more like wide receiver 12 at the end of the year, I would totally believe that. That's not value. And my definition of sleeper, it's not like here's a round 13 guy that can be round 12. It's who is going to provide the most value on their ADP. I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Godwin just outright scores more points than Emeka Buka in full point PPR formats. Like, we know that Baker Mayfield has a relationship with Chris Godwin. I think if there are any offensive line issues, the routes that Emeka Buka is running are going to be a little bit harder to get to for Baker than it is with Chris Godwin. And we know the rapport that those two have from a couple of years ago. I mean, there was a point before that ankle injury that Chris Godwin was wide receiver one, right? I think 2 years ago now at this point. He's not injury prone. He's not in this age of super old receiver like Devonta Adams or Mike Evans, like the unk tier of receivers. I think Chris Godwin is firmly above that. And you're treating him as if he's like a wide receiver three in a bad offense. I think the Buccaneers could be one of the highest scoring offenses in the league. And that relationship with Baker Mayfield, I think what Chris Godwin could do, to me, he's a screaming value. I'm going to be in about 20 redraft leagues this year. If I can get him about 15 of them, I have done my job in terms of winning leagues. Chris Godwin is probably one of my favorite guys outside of Tucker Kraft this year.
Folks, we've been talking about it all week. The wait is over. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide has officially arrived. You can sign up for VSiN Pro today. And you get yourself instant access to our college football betting guide featuring previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from the sharpest minds at VSiN. Plus, you'll also get our NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video over on the VSiN Watch app. You can start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% right off the bat with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Joe, I want to jump over to your other category here. So we've talked about a couple sleepers, guys who you think could dramatically exceed their ADP. On the other side, we have busts, players you're avoiding, guys you think are wildly overvalued. And as I scroll through your list here, I see what I believe will be a pretty controversial take, because my entire timeline, all day, every day, Joe, is filled with people steaming up Brock Bowers out in Las Vegas. You're not so sure he's going to be the tight end one this year.
No, I mean, I think he could be tight end one. But again, if I'm defining what the definition of sleeper is or what I think will be like a fade at the spot, it's the value present where you're drafting them compared to what you can get others. So again, I like Tucker Kraft. I like Isaiah Likely. I was on the show last week talking about Chigakonkwo, who ends up getting some steam as wide receiver two in Washington before they signed Stephon Diggs yesterday. I think there are a lot of tight ends this year, especially, that will get 85 to 90% production of whatever the top two or three tight ends. If you think and say it with your chest that Brock Bowers is going to be wide receiver three, much less tight end one, I don't know if I could really disagree with you. I don't feel as confident in this offense that will really facilitate that, but I'm not going to disagree. My whole argument, and I want you guys to go ahead and try this out in the RotoWire Fantasy Football app. You could do this in the mock draft part of things, but other places too. If you take Brock Bowers in the mid second round, and then let's just say take your running back two in round six, that's conventionally Jalen Warren. Flip that around and say, well, what if I end up getting Jeremiah Love or Devonta Smith, guys that are kind of going that Brock Bowers ADP range, and then get Tyler Warren or Tucker Kraft or Kyle Pitts three rounds later? You're going to like your roster a whole lot more than if you're spending a mid-second round pick on Brock Bowers. There might be a certain somebody that has the third overall pick, will go Jamar Chase, for example, and then have the option of coming back with Brock Bowers. That won't look as good if you choose to go an early tight end when there's a lot of other guys that happen later on. The other part, and you have to remember this when you're in your drafts, there are typically 10 teams or 12 teams in your league. Half of them, if not more, will say, I don't want to have an early round tight end. I don't want to draft one in the first seven or eight rounds. You're going to find those guys in that position just get pushed back. It happens all the time with quarterback and happens with tight end too. I just don't think Brock Bowers, even if he ends up scoring that much, is going to be worth it relative to the roster builds you can have if you wait at tight end later.
It's a great breakdown on Brock Bowers. I have not heard a lot of shade being thrown his way, but it makes sense when you put it like that. I guess the bloom is officially off the rose in terms of talented running backs playing in an Andy Reid system that sort of went out the window when we all got burned by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Why is Kenneth Walker not worth a buy at running back 11?
I think he's probably my biggest stay away altogether among the first 20 picks. Brock Bowers in that range as well, too. Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking Brian Westbrook. You had the Shady McCoy years as well, too. Something about the inattractiveness now of the Kansas City running backs is really interesting. To me, it's because the defenses make sure you can't get beat over the top, right? It's going to have Patrick Mahomes for the past 5 years just has had so much too high safety looks that you can't have that Tyreek Hill offense that you had from a half decade ago. And the byproduct of that allows more running backs to hit the holes that give 3 or 4 yards. Well, they haven't had a running back that can take advantage of that. That's the reason they signed Kenneth Walker. He is a really talented player. A, he's been unable to stay healthy. I think the Seahawks chose to have Zach Charbonnet in the second round after they drafted Kenneth Walker that year before because they know that Kenneth Walker is better in a platoon. But more importantly for me, Kenneth Walker is a home run hitter. He doesn't want to find the 3, 4, 5 yard plays and make them more 4, 5, 6 yards. He wants to look for the home run. That works great when you're allowed time. We saw it on the playoff run for the Seahawks when they're often ahead of teams and you have the chance to have more explosive run plays just by virtue of doing them. That will not happen in Kansas City. I know there's a lot of talk about Kenneth Walker being a 3-down workhorse, that he's going to be more involved as a pass catcher. And maybe that will happen. Emmett Johnson's really the only other backup there. I don't think he profiles an obvious pass catcher either. People are wildly wrong about his ADP. I'd rather have Derrick Henry, Chase Brown, Devon Achane, and I think there's a lot of other receivers I'd like in that range too.
Joe, excellent stuff, man. I know we could follow you on Twitter on X at JB Fantasy Sports. We can hear you, we can read you over at rotowire.com, and we appreciate you giving us some of your time. Love the breakdown on Brock Bowers, and look forward to having you back as we get closer and closer to peak draft season.
Yeah, I mean, I can always do a Piggly Wiggly breakdown if we need to as well. I'm happy to come on anytime to talk grocery stores as well.
Joe Bartle, everybody. Again, check him out on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Give you a quick scoreboard update in Major League Baseball. It's now 3-1 Angels over the O's in the top of the fourth, 3-3 between the Athletics and the Reds. We're in the bottom of the fourth there, and 3-2 Mets heading to the bottom of the second over the Guardians. Give you our best bets for the Hall of Fame game coming up tonight when we return. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen here with Brandon Kravitz, who I just found out it's your birthday. Brandon, I want to officially apologize. We obviously should have led the show with that. We probably should have spent all of segment one talking about your plans, what you have going the rest of the day, maybe reflect on the previous year. But I do want to issue you an official happy birthday. If you don't mind revealing, Brandon, what year are we up to here?
We are up to 41 years old. And you and I often like to turn that into a jersey, like, what player are you? Yeah. I can't think off the top of my head. It's such a swagless number. I can't think of a 41 in sports history. I don't know if you've got one on speed dial there. I'll see if I can dial it up, but 41 years old. I graduated high school the same year as LeBron.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Good context. I'm trying to go through the Rolodex of fullbacks. You know, when I think 41, I'm looking for a bruiser. I'm looking for somebody setting the tone, getting through the hole, clearing the way. Obviously, you're coming off of your Mike Alstott year at age 40. We might have to dip into the NBA. The ones that come to mind, Brandon, I think James Posey was 41. I believe Glenn Rice spent some time as a 41.
I'm getting a lot of Dirk Nowitzki right now and Alvin Kamara. So I'll claim those two for now. Okay. And it's not a bad list to start with.
Yeah. Dirk's a pretty big miss by me. I don't know why my mind went to James Posey over top 20 player all time, Dirk Nowitzki. Anyway, we have the Hall of Fame game coming up tonight. I guess we could say the official start of the NFL season, or at least the preseason. We have, of course, the Hall of Fame enshrinement coming our way on Saturday, but we want to try to break down what is one of the more difficult betting events of the entire NFL calendar. We don't expect to see really anything close to regular starters for either team on either side of the ball, but we do know the quarterback matchup. It'll be Kenny Pickett for the Carolina Panthers taking on rookie Carson Beck, at least to start this game for the Cardinals. Total, Brandon, is all the way down to 34.5 at DraftKings. Obviously, tough to feel like you could find a real edge in the Hall of Fame game, not really knowing what the rotations are going to look like, not really knowing which skill players are going to be out there and for how long. But as you started to do your prep, as you started to dive in, what angles were you able to uncover?
Well, and that's the thing. I think this is how everybody should start with the preseason. You should assume first that you will bet nothing. And then if something pops up from there, then go ahead. I am a firm believer in it's not degen behavior to bet the preseason. If you find an edge that's bettable, bet it. It's just if a bet cashes, it's the same as if a bet cashes in week three of the NFL season. But if you're just betting the preseason to bet the preseason, then that's probably a different conversation that you need to have with yourself. So the first advice is tread lightly. I do believe that there are angles to be found in general, backing John Harbaugh led teams. He always does well in the preseason, betting on teams with quarterback battles. That way you get starter level players that get extra run. I think the Hall of Fame game is largely a wasteland, but this year I have found that an angle, Nick. So I am betting into this. In six preseason games since Dave Canales took charge in 2024, the Panthers are 0-6 against the spread in the preseason. If you look at what Canales is facing in this game as well, Nick Scorton already out for the year. Xavier Leggett went down with an injury in practice. Both tackles on the offensive line are still missing. Dave Canales just wants to get out of this game healthy because it's been a major issue through training camp. Mike LaFleur on the other side has an increased probability of making this a game that actually means something to him because this is his first appearance as a head coach. And I know that Kenny Pickett is getting the nod here, but right behind him, this is where you have to start looking at depth charts, is an undrafted free agent in Haynes King. Carson Beck likely to get a lot of run, and by all accounts, he has looked really good in training camp so far. He gets to hand the rock off to Trey Benson, Bam Knight in the backfield, both with legit NFL experience. So a pretty straightforward bet for me. I like the Cardinals +1.5.
I had the Cardinals money line +108 on my card, Brandon. I think in a lot of ways you could view this as a toss up, as a true 50-50 game. There's no home field advantage for either side. So if I view it as a coin flip, I'll take that +108 price on Arizona. Now, I will say maybe Carolina does have a potential quarterback advantage for at least part of this game with Kenny Pickett. He has NFL experience. He's actually been an excellent preseason quarterback. He has 6 touchdowns to 0 interceptions in his preseason career. He's completing well over 70% of his passes, but I don't know how much we're going to see of Kenny Pickett. I think he kind of is who he is at this point. So I think there's another angle that we'll talk about when we get to our best bets, maybe looking at some of the rushing potential, especially with Haynes King likely taking over for Kenny Pickett, I think fairly early in this game. But before we get to those best bets, Brandon, we want to close things out taking a look at some specific win totals, some division win totals that we think might be worth a sprinkle this season. I know you have a few. I have a couple. We'll try to run through here. Tell me why you like the Bengals to get to at least 4 division wins in the NFC, or excuse me, the AFC North.
Well, they might accomplish this with just the Steelers and the Browns, so that would be a good place to start. If you look at their schedule, this would be a really fun sweat. They wrap the season with the Ravens at home on Thursday Night Football. Then they're at home against the Cleveland Browns. Back-to-back home games, likely sitting at 2 or 3 divisional wins at the end of the year, with a chance that you need both of those games right there at the end. And the thing that I love about this is that if the Bengals hit their ceiling and are able to grab the number one seed by week 18, which is a possibility, the Browns are likely going to be tanking by the final week of the season. So that could sort of mitigate things. If the Bengals pull their starters, you've got one divisional game left. Well, the Browns might do that too. Either way you slice it, I'm high on Cincinnati this year. It starts there. They finally invested in their defense in a very real way. Boye Mafe, Jonathan Allen, Dexter Lawrence. I think this team has a chance to be special, and I think it starts in the division.
We talked a little bit about the Colts at the top of the show. They, of course, signing Jonathan Taylor to a 2-year extension, and that season-long win total is sitting at 7.5 for Indy. They are a distant third to win the AFC South behind Houston and Jacksonville. Their in-division win number sitting at 2.5, and you were looking at the under 2.5 at a nice plus money price.
Yeah, I mean, think about how red hot this team was last season, 8-2 right out of the gate, and even with that, they went 2-4 in the division. Everyone around them has improved, and they're likely due for a little bit of regression. We know they can't beat Jacksonville and Jacksonville, 0-7 in their last 7 in Duval County, so that takes care of one. I think they could easily lose both to the Texans, and the Titans are better this year. They should split with them. I just can't get to 3. So we're going to go under on the Indianapolis Colts.
So I've talked in the past, Brandon, about the under 1.5 division wins for the Miami Dolphins. I will bank that at even money, and I will live with the possibility of the Dolphins sweeping the New York Jets. I think that's what it's going to come down to. I know New England traditionally has had trouble down in Miami. I know they stole a game from the Bills last year. I just don't see that happening the way the Dolphins stripped down that roster this offseason. So that's one that I wanted to jump in on. And the other, as I grow my cartoonish Minnesota Vikings futures portfolio, Brandon, is the over 2.5 division wins for Minnesota at -110. I think they could split with all 3 teams in the NFC North. I think all these teams could go 3-3 in division. I think it's a lot closer than the odds might imply. And this is a team that went 4-2 in division a year ago. And that was with McCarthy. That was with Wentz. That was with Max Brosmer quarterbacking this team. You know, I am high on Kyler Murray coming in and just bringing a much, much higher floor to that offense. Keep in mind, Brandon, this Minnesota Vikings team beat the Lions on Christmas Day with Max Brosmer throwing for 51 yards and taking 7 sacks. That was a double-digit win for the Minnesota Vikings. Give me some competent quarterback play this year. I think this Vikings team could be a 4-win team in the NFC North. One more real quickly, Brandon, before we hand out our best bets. The LA Chargers, you're looking at the under 2.5 in the AFC West at +120.
Yeah, getting anybody in this division to 4 divisional wins is going to be really tough. I'm not of the belief that the Raiders are a pushover anymore. The Chiefs still very much have Patrick Mahomes the last time I checked, and I think the Broncos might be the best team in the division that nobody's talking about. So if I can get an under 3.5 at plus money for anybody in this division, I love it, and the Chargers are the team that I'm lacking faith in the most.
Let's round out the show with our best bets of the night. And we are both going back to the Hall of Fame game. Feels like we kind of have to with football back.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that it's the Hall of Fame game. Football's back. Let's see if we can profit off of it. Canales has been dreadful in these exhibition games. In Carson Beck, we trust, Nick. What could go wrong?
Give me both teams to rush for 100-plus yards tonight, plus 105 at DraftKings. These could turn into run-heavy games in the second half. We had 63 combined carries in the Hall of Fame game a year ago. Haynes King is going to take over for Kenny Pickett, almost 1,000 yards on the ground last year at Georgia Tech. Going to need that Arizona running game to cooperate, but I think we can get there at plus 105. Money moves. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next. Keep it locked. You're watching VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.